If you think about it, then you dream about it. Don't worry about it, gon' talk about it. If you think about it, then you dream about it. Don't worry about it, gon' talk about it. If you think about it, then you dream about it. Don't worry about it, we gon' talk about it. If you think about it, then you dream about it. Don't worry about it, we gon' talk about it.
All right, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Sorry Not Friday Podcast, featuring your girl here, Jenny Lewis Ford, and my esteemed partner in wokeness, actually, my partner in wokeness, Gigi. But she's not here today. She got a new gig.
Aww, sorry, Gigi. We miss you.
I do miss her. But you know what? It's all good. She's here in spirit. She is haunting us right now. She'll be here this whole episode because I'll be thinking about her. So we just wrapped up one of my favorite months of the year besides my birthday month.
Oh, what are you? Aquarius or Pisces?
No, I'm a Gemini, but I do love Black History Month just as much as my birthday.
I was like, you're a Gemini. Oh, I love Black History Month.
Yeah. Wait, so wait, was that Gemini shade I just felt right there? Or like, because I mean, we get a bad rap, and I just
try to sweep that under the rug on my own.
Let me just speak on behalf of all Geminis. We are not crazy. If you met one that was crazy, it's because they're a crazy person, not because they're Gemini. Okay, so shout out to all my woke Geminis who understand themselves and to not be crazy and to push that onto other people, because there are a few of us left.
Yes, Geminis, wake yourselves up and stop pushing it onto other people.
Exactly. You have to be self-aware in life, period, but especially as a Gemini. Okay, so we wrapped up Black History Month, right? Which obviously,
I can't believe it's already over.
I know.
And we got an extra day.
I know. What'd you do for your leap year?
What did I do? Oh, I went out. It was one of my girlfriend's birthday. I went out.
Showed up.
I went out in Jersey at that. It's been like years since I did that.
Oh, you went on a long distance trip.
Yes,
huh? Okay.
I did that. But you know, I was raised in Jersey, so it was good to like kind of connect with people that I have like real like ties with.
Okay, country girl.
You know.
Well, I love Black History Month. I have to say I got a great speaking opportunity at PayPal. It was a lot of fun, educational moments, and I want to continue the education. And I think we should drip this out for the rest of the year because Black History is every month.
Yes.
And so continuing that same energy and that same spirit, March is dedicated usually to women's topics. International Women's Day is coming up on March 8th. So we kind of were inspired by a little bit of Black History Month and this upcoming International Women's Day to do a show today focusing on how women of color can make space for themselves, where it's owning your own business, being seen more, networking better, just stepping up, leveling up, and hustling up for the new year. It's still really early, so we want to kind of drop some knowledge. So joining me today, all right, is a beautiful lady named Alicia Gooding, and you may know her from a small little TV show, actually not small at all, on BET called Hustle in Brooklyn.
Hey guys, how
Thank
are you?
Thank you for coming.
Actually, thank you for having me.
Of course, girl. I actually watched that show and I stalked you guys.
No.
I, you know, as a New Yorker, I love content that's like New York centric, okay, but real, because I felt like, you know, these love and hip hops, they're a little bit too big for the britches. They're not really showing what real life is like anymore. And the angle for this show was so unique, and it was kind of, it gave me a little bit of Demetra Lucas vibes when she was in that show.
Blood, Sweat, and Heels.
Blood, Sweat, and Heels. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's basically showing what it's like to be on the brink of success and like certain people who have that hunger and drive and what it's going to take to get them to the next level. And so Alicia was actually one of the PR people behind the scenes for this show.
Well, one of the cast. So I first found out about Hustle in Brooklyn because the production company, who also was like production and casting, they reached out to my agency to cast the show.
Okay.
One of the main casting producers, she had known me now for a couple of years because they had tried to cast me for different shows. I had made like the top 10 of different shows. They flew me out, but it just wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right timing. So she called me and she was like, hey, I have this show. And I was like, look, I'm not trying to do a show. At the time I was in Atlanta, I was trying to, I was working with Erica Mena at the time and she wanted to do music. So
okay.
I was like in Atlanta for a month, like trying to A&R her music, like in Atlanta in the studio with her with writers and all this other stuff. So I'm like, I'm focused. Like, I'm not trying to be on TV. And she's like, pump your brakes. we're trying to get you to cast this show. We need you for like 2 weeks.
Okay.
But we know that you really know Brooklyn because, you know, the production company was based out of Los Angeles. So I was like, you know what? I'm totally down. Like, I'm down to help you guys find a cast. And then somehow, some way, they ended up calling me like, hey, get on a Skype. And then the rest is history.
The rest is history. So you actually said something, and I actually want to dig into like how you're connected to all of these like Love and Hip Hop characters, because that is like kismet. Like, there's a list, guys. She got a Rolodex, right? She worked with Erica Mena, Chinese Kitty,
Safari.
Snoop from the what is it, from The Wire?
Snoop from The Wire. Which is crazy, because you know who helped get Felicia on a Love and Hip Hop? Deb Antony,
oh,
Waka
yes.
Flocka's
mother,
who's also was on Love and Hip Hop.
Oh my God, I feel like this is the Illuminati circle right here. Like, you have
it's
to
really
know.
It's really crazy because I really am connected to like a lot of the main cast members on every Love and Hip Hop season. Miss Pooh, that was shaking things up in Atlanta.
Yes,
like,
yes.
I spent Easter with her last year.
Oh my God.
Like, I spent Easter at her home. Like, I really know this woman. She's like super dope. Her husband is like a music executive boss. Like, she's been in this position way before the show. So
I want to pick your brain. I want to go back to what you said about timing, because a lot of people, they want to be on TV, they want to be doing what you're doing, they want to be in publicity, they want to kind of rub elbows with celebrities, and you know, they may hit a lot of walls. But you said something about how you yourself was like top 10 times before the timing was right.
Mm-hmm.
Is it really just about like the timing?
Everything is one, timing, preparedness. Because people always talk about timing, but at the end of the day, if you're not prepared, it's never going to be your
exactly.
time.
Exactly, yeah.
And sometimes you're prepared for everything else, but the other elements, you know, just don't fall in place. And I used to get really frustrated. I'm not going to lie. At one point, I used to be like, why is this happening to me? Until I kind of, like, started getting realigned in my foundation and really realizing, like, if something doesn't happen, that means that God is blocking it from happening and you have something bigger happening. Even
yes.
though I didn't know if it was something bigger at first, I'm not going to lie. I used to have to convince myself that. Like, I used to sit there and cry in my pillow like, oh my God, God, you must be about to show me something great, because why is my life like this? And then when things, like, when I started to see, like, little affirmations in my life, once things didn't happen, I just started to be like, you know what? It's all right.
Listen, my co-host, she told me a story one time. She wanted to be on Bad Girls Club so bad.
I got casted for that show too.
Yeah.
That's how they first met me.
Right. And it's like, she, I used to love that show. So I used to, obviously used to, everybody used to kind of dream about being on Bad Girls Club at one point, right? But at some point I was like, nah, this show is too crazy. So I don't even want my brand associated with this show. Because even broke in the Bronx with no job, I knew that was going to mess me up somehow. So she told me she used to get really upset when she didn't get it. And I'm like, there's something else. Like, you know, mm-hmm. you have to understand that sometimes no is a blessing. Just as much as it feels like a rejection, just as much as it feels like painful because you didn't get what you want,
mm-hmm.
it could actually be, you know, a saving grace.
Yeah, sometimes we don't know what we want.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes what we want isn't good for us.
Exactly. And especially, we just had a show about the detriments and the benefits of reality TV and how
I
that
wish I was at that episode.
Uh-huh. We gonna do it again with you because we need some tea. We were talking about, is it really real? And I'm gonna ask you that too, because I know from behind the scenes, a lot of it's scripted. And you said you filmed for 2 weeks and it was like 6 months.
No, we casted.
We casted for
2 weeks. We filmed for like 4 to 5 months.
Oh, wow. That's really
long.
Yeah,
we filmed for 4 to 5 months. For me, like, people say that reality TV is scripted, but it's not that it's scripted. But at the end of the day, when it comes to any TV or anything that has to do with like filming, someone has to produce it to make it make sense.
Yeah.
Even if you're shooting a music video, you have to chop up scenes to make the video
make
fluid.
A story. Right.
So when you have a bunch of people on a show together, the show is real. The reality and the drama that you see real, but the only thing I can say that might be scripted is these people interacting with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we might not interact with each other in real life. Like, I might see you. We might have been in the room together. You might have said, what up? And I said, hey. But as far as us really interacting on a daily basis, those are the things where they put people together and then kind of, like, see what happens.
It's like IKEA staging, right? You kind of bring it together,
yeah,
and then
exactly.
It's up to you to figure out what's about to happen.
Exactly.
Or react to it.
Exactly.
So I think we broke the ice. Like, we came in, and this ice is gone. It's melted. We're here.
Yes.
We're connected. All right. But I still wanted to ask you a question about, you know, you have a very varied career. You went from being a publicist to being...
Well, I started in marketing.
Oh, well, see, marketing and publicist. And then you went to talent. And now you have some new ventures that we're going to talk about later. But if you could tell the audience listening right now, like, what was the biggest achievement or biggest lesson that you've had in the last few years since being on the show?
Since being on the show. I would honestly say, that's a really good question because I have like so many different layered answers. So since being on the show, one of the biggest things that I learned is that nothing goes right without your foundation, and you can never lose your footing no matter what place they put you in. Like, people will try to move you around. People will try to elevate you. People will try to do things to harm you. But as long as your foundation and your core is tight, you're always going to be able to figure it out.
So you're talking about the adversity, right, of business?
So for me, I'm not, this is like, I'm just being super honest. After the show, I told myself I probably would never be a part of a reality show again unless I had some type of creative control or executive production rights. I have, this is not to slight any of my cast members. I have love for some of the cast. I have love for everyone, you know, at the end of the day.
Got a big heart.
But it's different when you're already this person they're trying to picture, like paint you as, and you're on a cast with people who are still trying to figure out who they are.
Right.
So then when drama and different personalities collide, you have people that are not, I have a very strong personality. I'm super confident. I know who I am. I'm the type of person, you're either going to love me or you're going to hate me. There's no in-between. There's no, I'm a Scorpio.
Oh,
there's no
in-between. Now you want to talk about crazy signs now. All right.
There's no in-between. So it was just kind of like a thing where I felt like because I was such a strong, outspoken personality, they would put me in the situation where I'd have to like, they'd be like, oh, we want you to sit with this person and give feedback. Oh, and it's like, people aren't real with each other every day.
No.
And I don't know how to not be real because I feel like if someone's not being real with me and vice versa, how can we change?
Yeah, but also there's pros and cons with that. So like, you know, being a straightforward person who shoots at the hip, you often get painted as the angry black girl.
The bitch.
Yeah.
You get, aggressive.
You get the aggressive title. You get that angry black woman narrative painted on you just because you're straightforward. And, you know, that's not something that they will put on a guy that speaks from the hip, you know, or just...
At all. They'll just consider him a boss. Yeah. Like, sometimes when you see a man to be straightforward, everyone just listens. And then when a woman is straightforward, it's like,
actually science. So, like, they tell women executives that in order to be, like, perceived and loved, they have to be kind and caring and more feminine. And male executives have to be way more masculine. And if you have any of those masculine traits, which they actually define being straightforward as masculine, like, what, how, why, Lord? This is still psychological tests that are happening. Like, the traits that go with, like, being a powerful male CEO are positive in men and considered negative traits in women. And it's a real thing, and it perpetuates itself all the time on reality TV shows or on, like, when you can see us on TV. We get that narrative all the time.
Exactly. No, yeah. We really do. Like, I mean, and just to, like, even though I said, like, the show was a lesson, I might not have done something like that again, to speak to a positive point, that's why I did the show.
Yeah.
Because I felt like us as women, especially minority women, I never have seen a reality show where it's like in today's day and age, there's not like a cool reality show if you're not like trying to be a rapper or a former stripper and all that other kind of stuff, or you're married to someone rich. Like,
married to medicine.
Why do I have to be married to someone rich to be important or for my story to be valued? Why do I have to be wanting to be a rapper or in tight two-piece clothing with my breasts out for my story to matter? 90% of women are not like this. So when they gave me the opportunity, honestly, like, there were artists, there were different people that were talent in the show, but I was like, I owe it to myself and to women like me to show them there could be someone like you out there, you know, because we never see people like us. And then when you're down and you're struggling, sometimes, and not that I've ever been in this hole, but like, you kind of like pick and choose your battles, or some people, like, they want to let go of their dreams. Or you might sink into a hole where I see women who were on their path, but they struggled and they might have fallen into things like getting money for sex and this type of, because you know the business is hard.
Yeah.
And it's like just seeing, people don't understand just seeing one person or one thing that could tell you like, oh wait, there is something like that, can help someone be like, no, I'm staying on my path.
Well, I just want to say thank you because I watched the show and I watched it for you. Because I thought it was super refreshing to see a hustler. And like I always joke around that my title is a multi-hustlepreneur because there is a fire and an energy and type of people who just want to succeed and still have a core value set. They're not going to do any means necessary, but they're going to work hard and they're going to try to get that American dream any way that they are talented enough to do so. So it was very positive to see someone like you. And I love that they showed Brooklyn and it had that fresh angle where it was just kind of like everybody's up and coming, but super talented and ready to take over the world.
I love that too.
I love that about that show. And so now that we talked about that, let's talk about what's next for you. Let's, you know, you mentioned you were coming into some new ventures.
Okay, so like I started my agency Code 6 years ago now, January 2014. And as of this January, we've transitioned, because most people know me as a publicist, celebrity publicist.
So break it down. What's the difference between like a publicist, PR, and marketing? Because some people don't know.
I love this breakdown. Let me break this down for people, because this is like when someone wants to work with me, this is the first thing I say before I even say what I could do. I'm like, okay, so PR means controlling the narrative. You can either sit there and wait for people to talk about you and hope they talk about you in a good way and hope they push the things that you want them to push, mm-hmm. or you can control it yourself. As when you steer it, you do different things to make people talk about you. For example, we had Wendy Williams in the studio with our artist on Friday. And then lo and behold, last Monday, she did a whole segment on him. That's how we control the narrative. He doesn't even have a project out yet.
Nice.
But Wendy already let the people know, like, he's a dope rapper from Philly. He's next up. You never know. He might be the next French Montana. And that's all we need. Someone that's going to help us push what we're already pushing. Now, when it comes to marketing, marketing is how you connect your business or brand to a consumer. So whether you're talent, whether you're a corporation, whether you're individual, everything is a brand.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why there are different forms of marketing. There's social media marketing. There's digital marketing. There's event marketing. Out-of-home marketing, which is also like advertisement. And out-of-home marketing is like when you see billboards in Times Square, when you
print,
see those ads inside the subway or on the bus stop, that's all out-of-home marketing. So like all these different elements are how people get the word out and get sales. Like that's what I always tell people. PR is your words and your narrative. Marketing is how you make your money.
Mm-hmm.
So the better your marketing, the more money your business will make. And you should base all of your PR around your marketing.
Drop these jewels, sis. Drop these jewels. Okay, sis, keep preaching. So we got the PR, we got the marketing.
And then for management, especially when it comes to talent, your management is basically in control of everything. So I feel like your management is the person that helps build your team. Your manager is the one who aligns you with opportunities to make money. Because a lot of times people think,
right?
Like a publicist get, like when it comes to artists, some people are like, oh, my PR gets me booked for shows. No, I don't. Or PR gets me booked for the club. No, I don't. That's your manager's job. I can. I have the relationships too. But then I'm going to be cutting in on your manager's percentage for that booking fee.
I don't think a lot of people know that.
And they don't. But yeah. I think that's what made a lot of people want to work with us, because we don't only educate our clients. We had the relationships to do it all. So we're your PR, but we're also doing management things. We're getting you booked for shows. We're getting you
endorsements
for, like, brands are endorsing and sponsoring our clients. So, yeah, we became a one-stop shop.
That's awesome.
But honestly, to go back to being, like, a hustlepreneur, we didn't do it to do everything. We honestly did it because we realized every day this industry is changing. We're doing celebrity PR. We're working in the entertainment industry, especially as an urban publicist. Urban publicists have a shorter lifespan than Caucasian publicists. Just people will start with a Black publicist. Then when they make money, they'll transition to like these white big PR firms. And a lot of times these PR firms don't even understand the culture of what's really going on. They're literally just more money and they're placing you places. They're not even like finding new opportunities.
Yeah.
They're not over
they're
here
following
fielding
a model that they
you.
Already established.
Exactly.
They're not really looking out for your story or curating your story the way you would.
Which is why you can't even really get your money's worth if you sign to one of these firms and you're an indie.
Let's talk about Black in business for a second. Like you said, there's not a lot of spaces there, right? But I know so many like scam PR folks that are like, yeah, I could do this for you. I can get you this club. You want this money? Let's make this money. And then you give them thousands of dollars and you have nothing. Maybe a satellite radio tour on like a podcast network down south or something. So like, how can our listeners who are interested either in being in PR or hiring someone or hiring a shop, how can they tell real from the fake?
Okay, so one, I always tell people, I don't hand over any money without understanding what you can do. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people I realize that have gotten like, they didn't get any type of proposal. And one thing all my clients know is, like, before they started working with me, I provide them with an extensive proposal. It's like a 6 to 8 page proposal of how we see your business and what we can do for you over the next 3 months. Why? Because that's our conversation point. Like, yeah. We might have a first phone call, we might have an in-person meeting, but I feel like until I tell you what I can do for you, we don't have anything to talk about.
And
like,
it's not legal, like a document. Real conversation. It's a document.
It's a document. Yeah. So that we can at least talk about, okay, I like this, I don't like this. I see how you're attacking it from this angle. And we don't only attack it from a PR angle. We talk about, okay, what's going on lifestyle culture-wise? How can we make what you're doing here match up with what's aligning within pop culture, what's aligning in real life? And then we try to create a lot of real life moments that are things that people would naturally want to talk about. So when it comes to hiring a PR, one, you want to know if they really have these relationships. Two, they should be providing you with a plan, like how it's broken down. Three, how not to get scammed is, like, anyone could take pictures on a step and repeat. I honestly never took a picture on a step and repeat until after I did the show. I used to be in so many places, celebrities' houses. I was never the publicist that took pictures with my clients. That wasn't me. I always wanted to do the work. But one thing you would see if you saw my page was the work. You right. see me backstage at the Wendy show. You see me inside the radio stations or sitting with the program directors. And I feel like a lot of people get scammed because they just get excited at where people are. Some person might be
but
at the
also
concert.
There's scammers out there, guys. PSA, people get scammed because there's a lot of scammers.
There's a whole publicist in the industry right now that, and now she works for a label, which is crazy, but her whole career is based off of like the first 18 months of my work.
Oh my God.
Like, I've had people
scammers.
Have looked at my portfolio and was like, no, so-and-so did this. And I literally had to show them my emails with Billboard, show them my partnership emails with SoundCloud with that specific artist that she showed them that she did it with. And they were like,
what do you do? Do you just try to stop it? Or you're like, go ahead, sis. What's meant for me is meant for me.
Basically.
Yeah. Because you can only go so far with fraud. Like, at some point, whether it's of your own or someone else, you will get exposed because it always comes out to the light.
And honestly, I'm not going to lie. With this particular person, every person that she frauded ended up somehow finding me afterwards.
Ooh,
so that's the only
you...
reason why I knew. Because
hey, literally you
every single, like, I had literally have like 5-6 clients that worked with me right after working with her. So it's like, you can't even get frustrated. All you can do is like hone in and be the best at what you do. And as long as you're the best and you keep excelling, people are going to find you because people want to work with the best.
Yeah. Sidebar, I'm going to tell you a story about how young Jenny got scammed.
Yeah.
This goes nowhere. So I met a publicist, and I never really reach out to these types of people because I do marketing for a living, but for corporations, right?
Oh.
So that's, I love corporate marketing.
I love corporate marketing too. That's where I started.
Yeah. Because it's like, it's not personal. It's
at
just
all.
Like, you know, but I am
speaking.
And
they have big budgets.
Yeah, yeah. Once you get the corporate dollars, it's a little hard to go back. But I do love corporate marketing. I love the freedom it allows me, but it still gives me a great big space to be bad at my own marketing because I'm not marketing for people. I'm marketing for businesses. So when I was younger, I met this publicist and she was like in love with me. I guess she was just trying to get some coins or whatever. And she was Black and I just love supporting Black businesses and everything. So I'm all for that. And she gave me her proposal and on page 2, it was like goal number 3, getting me on SNL. And I knew there was no way in hell that was going to happen. A... I was like, oh, this is a scam. It's not that I don't feel like I'm talented enough, but at the time there was almost no Black female comedians on SNL.
And then how was she connecting the dots from you getting to SNL?
Like, who do you know, girl? Because I'm sure I was not the funniest person trying to be on SNL at that
did
point.
Did she mean she was getting you tickets to
no,
SNL?
Like on the cast. And I'm like, you mean as a writer? She's like, no, on the cast.
Look at my camera.
You don't believe in me. Like, you don't believe in me. Okay, I didn't either at the time. Because I promise you, this is right before, maybe 5 years before, they had that big thing where it was like, there's
that
no.
That Black boom?
Yeah, because there was no Black talent. There was no black talent on SNL for like a good 10, 12 years. There mm-hmm. was nothing there. And there was no women. And there was like, you know, they had like Maya Rudolph or whatever. But it was like, it was a patch of dryness, of mm-hmm. ashiness right there.
It was real ashy.
So I was just like, okay, sis, we're going to put this down. She wanted $2,500 a month.
I mean, that's not bad. She's cheaper than my rate.
Okay, but I was a young young Jenny at the time, living off ramen noodles
in
the Bronx.
She was Jenny on the block.
Yeah, that's my name, okay? I'm formerly from the block. I used to have a little, now I have a little more. Okay, so yeah, so I'm like, okay, that was my first and last time dealing with someone of that nature. And I'm like, I'll just do it myself. But this is the perfect segue. You are super impressive. You're throwing out your receipts, girl. Throwing out all these receipts in here for in the ether. And just wrapping it around to like women in business. And something that I want to stress, and I'm sure you know the importance of. It seems like you have great relationships. I want to talk to you about the power of networking a little bit. And it seems like that's kind of like how you've been able to build your business, your reputation.
Definitely.
And a lot of people don't know how. And I'm self-included. One of my biggest learning lessons is the power of reaching out. Because it took me a long time just to feel comfortable.
You have to reach out. You have to follow up.
Shoot your shot.
You have to do things that speak to the people, like what they like and what they want. So honestly, I feel like I got so good at networking because at first I always kind of felt like I didn't deserve to be in the room. Because I completely fell into this business. Like, I remember one year, I think I was like 20, 21, my friend Chris, damn, I'm forgetting Chris's last name, fashion guy, New York. He's like a big fashion publicist and owns like fashion brands and like a whole fashion consulting company now. But he had like broke both his legs in a ski trip.
Oh.
And okay. He was like, I need you to go to these events and like cover it for me. Like, I need you to let me know what's going on. And like the first event was like a G-Shock event with D and Ricky. And then he needed me to go to like a G-Star event. And I was just so scared to talk to anyone. And the first person I spoke to at the D and Ricky event was Mac Wilds. And then
that's my little guy.
I just randomly. Yeah. So my first rule to like just whenever you're in a room and you're just not comfortable, I feel the best way to get comfortable is making everyone else uncomfortable. So like if you see someone that you feel like you can relate to, you gotta like eye the room. Like maybe someone has something similar as you on. Maybe someone's ordering the same drink as you. Maybe someone's, you just go like, oh, I knew you were getting that for me. I learned like throwing people off and being quirky is something that people will embrace.
See, that's a different type of networking. That's seasoned right there. Like,
but I wasn't seasoned. Well, that's I wasn't seasoned.
You were blessed and it came from God, because like I feel like most of the networking things that I go to, people are just like, here's my business card and I can call you and I can do this for you and you can do that for me. And it's like, this is weird.
Hey, but I never knew that type of business because I dropped out of college after my first 2 months. So I knew nothing about marketing, PR, and I felt like people, I knew at a young age, people always used to like to talk to me. People always come to me for advice. I used to be like an assistant store manager and a customer service all-star, like when I was working in sales, it's my first job. So I was
like, see this.
I was like, the best thing I can do is be a people person mm-hmm. and be a genuine person. If people gravitate to me, then I can sell them anything else. It's kind of what you learn about marketing. When you like make something fall in love with a product, they'll buy anything.
Right.
If you make them fall in love with a person, they'll buy anything they have to sell.
Yeah, because you're not making them fall in love with that one product. You're making them fall in love with a brand and a story, your values, right?
Exactly.
The whole package.
So the next thing when it comes to networking is like when you step into a room, you have to be very intentional with what you're doing. And I always speak to people about not being linear. Like, I feel like nothing in life, especially being black or just any minority, you cannot look at anything in a linear way. You always have to try to adopt some type of not only emotional intelligence, but what else am I trying to get out of this situation? Because everyone says we have to work harder. I don't mind that. I'm cool with the hard work. So the hard work means I can't, if I'm going to a concert, like this is what I was saying at SOBs, if I'm going to like a listening for Meek Mill, then me trying to meet Meek cannot be my only option. That's me thinking linear. I need to get into that room, or before I even get there, I need to look at the flyer. Does this make sense? look at the events. Like, does this make sense? What am I missing in my life, or what am I missing in my business, or as an artist?
So before you even leave the house, you look at the event and you're like,
is it worth going to?
Hey.
Is it worth going to?
There we
go. If it doesn't have good enough sponsors, like good core, like top tier one sponsors and good media outlets covering it, then there's no reason for me to be there.
Because that means— say it again for the people in the back, okay? Say it again for the people in the back. You have to be intentional when you go to these things.
You have to be intentional with your purpose. You have to know who you're looking for, why you're scouting them out, and then what you're going to say once you see them.
Yeah, prepared, like you said, like the first thing you said, right?
Prepared.
Being prepared. Because that's tough for most people.
Because you got to think about, at the end of the day, sometimes people go to a good event, but if all you got was some footage of Meek performing a song, then you didn't do good. You just were a consumer like everybody else in the room.
Right.
So if you went there for a purpose, the least you could do is try to figure out who the sponsor is. Maybe they could send you some free product. The least you could do is see if the A&R at the label is there, because they probably are.
Ooh,
maybe you could eventually build the relationship where they can at least hear your music. They might not sign you, but they might at least tell you what's wrong with it. They might put you with another artist on the label. You might meet other A&Rs from other labels, but you have to extract everything from that one position. Even like when I said with PR, like PR is squeezing all the juice out of every single moment. Like if you sneeze, that's a moment. I'm gonna make that sneeze a moment. I'm gonna make sure that everybody knows. We're gonna figure out how to doctor this sneeze up and make sure like we get everything out of this. So it's definitely being intentional, and then your approach, knowing how to approach people.
That people may need some work on. Like people, so you know, social anxiety is real, you know. I would say all of the above for sure. If you practice, then you're prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say have a hit list, but also have open expectation. Like be open to the possibilities, because a lot of people get fixated on one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like expectations absolutely kill happiness. Right.
You cannot have expectations
and be happy.
And the other thing I don't want to hear is like about people saying like, oh, what about if I don't have money? Shit. When I was doing half this stuff, I didn't have any money, or I was like, I was just finessing. Like,
you were a hustler,
paneur. Like, I will never forget when, hopefully they're not watching this. I will never forget. I have someone who now is like a mentor to me that was out in LA for a conference for work. And they're like, you should be out here. It was like some digital marketing conference. I think the next 2 days were about social media marketing. They're like, get out to LA tomorrow. I was like, I don't have the money to get to LA. The ticket right now is $1,500. Like, you're telling me at 5 PM to fly to LA tomorrow.
Right.
So they were like, I'm going to send you the money. Come. When I told the person I didn't have $1,500, I knew that my best friend at the time, who was my roommate's mom, worked for Delta. So the flight, we already had looked it up, was $99. So I let him send me the money. And then I didn't go shopping with this money. I didn't do any of these things. I remember Revolt TV had just launched, and I had just met like DJ Damage and a couple other people maybe 2 weeks prior at Upfront.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started hitting everyone that I might need to connect with to build my LA tribe. Because like I said, we know we have to work harder, and working hard doesn't always mean the written down work or the sweat. It means, okay, as an urban publicist, I have to have a network outside of New York.
Right.
Which a lot, you know, don't I have a network in New York, LA, Miami, Atlanta, like what you need, Texas. You know, we have it on lock, but that's how I built it. And I basically took the additional money that he sent, and I started taking people to lunch. I didn't even have any time. I'd be like, hey, Damage, I'm out in LA. Come link me. He pulled up on me at the Mondrian, and I said, we're going to Fig and Olive. I've never been there before. Some bougie restaurant. We both looking at the little stuff on the plate.
Looking at the appetizer section.
And it was
like, can I just order from this side of the menu, please,
sir? I didn't even know what half of that stuff was. Foie gras and all types of stuff.
Girl.
But you know what he ended up telling me? That was the first time someone had invited him to like lunch and like pay. Like, he didn't know what that was. He was, especially as a woman, he was like, I never had someone do that with me. And I respect you so much because of that. Me and Damage have an amazing relationship to this day. Like, I have to do an interview with him. He wants to interview me on networking.
Nice.
Coincidentally.
See, I told you.
So,
sis.
Like, that was my whole thing, that whatever you have, every dollar you have should be going back into your business. Don't let people tell you that you have to have a certain look or a certain designer, especially when you're, whatever you're doing, don't ever make anyone make you feel like that. Okay, like, I remember the first couple years of my business being like, do I want to be able to have my weaves be fresh? Or do I want to be able to have enough money to meet with people, be able to pay for their coffee and do things so they feel like I trust this person?
Right.
And where did I take myself? To the beauty supply store to get a $20 wig.
There you go.
And I was pumping through with that $20 wig for like a year. I met ASAP Ferg in the wig. And I've been around all these people with the wig. I've been around Drake in the event for Republic with the wig, you know. But it
and
was
who
just
cares
like,
if it's $20?
Matter.
I got a $20 wig in my bag right now.
Hello.
It doesn't matter. If you're fly, you're fly.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So it's just about like investing in yourself and
that's what it means to invest in yourself. You wasn't buying new Nike shoes. You weren't trying to buy Prada, whatever. You were investing in your firm and putting your money into making new relationships. Because you're network queen. Mm-hmm. You're network queen. We need to all bow down.
I didn't even know that it was networking at that time. I was just like, what can I do to make people not say no?
Because it's, you know what? The word network has negative connotations. Like a lot of people, I personally do not feel like I'm good at networking, but if you ask anyone that knows me, they're like, Jenny, you're a great networker. You have a fabulous network of people that love you. And I'm like, is that networking though? Like, I mean, to me, that's just people I love, and I love making relationships, and I love building bonds with people that I like. But if I don't like you, it's not gonna happen, sir. Uh-oh. I'm sorry. And it's very few people that I like, but you know, in business, you have to swallow it a little bit. So let's get off of that topic. Let's see what's next with you, though, because you were talking about you know, how you've been doing code for several years now. And now, you know, before we started talking, you said you were trying to do something new with it.
Yeah. So one, and this is just like as I transitioned, I kind of like our agency is just doing strictly brand strategy, development and management now.
Okay.
And not that we don't offer publicity services, but I want to only offer it to the people that are really with me, because it's nothing like I learned a lot, you know, doing PR and representing different people. But one of the biggest things that I learned is I'm never going to get rich
Boom.
Off of being a publicist.
Mm.
I'm never going to be at the same level financially as the people that I represent, even though I literally have put people that I represent in the position where they make this type of money. Like,
why
I'll put an artist
that,
in a position where I can get an artist a free feature from a big artist, and that song could do 50 million streams. But if I'm just the independently contracted publicist, I'm not entitled to that, because that's more so of a label management situation. Granted, in my contracts, anything that I bring to the table that's monetary straight up, I get a percentage of, but you don't know what something that you create is gonna do later on.
Exactly.
It's music. So I started realizing, like, I have really strong relationships. My partner has really strong relationships. Like, my partner is the only Black jeweler in the Diamond District. He's 50 Cent's jeweler, he's Drake's jeweler, he's ASAP Ferg's jeweler. So it's just like, we need to do more because we can do more. Why are we being minimalized if we don't have to be? So we decided to rise to the occasion. I was like, no, I'm not going to take these retainers. I have people that, you know, want to retain me all the time, but I don't want that. I want ownership. I want to be an owner. I'm tired of helping artists. And it's not even just about the money. I'm tired of helping artists and then later seeing them a year or two later, and they're like blasting their label on the internet or mm-hmm. blasting their management or coming to me and talking about a shitty deal. It's like, I want to protect them. That's the biggest thing for me. I fell in love with music when I realized how much Black and minority culture makes money in music, yet we're not the ones benefiting from
at
it.
At all.
And it
And
hurts.
Not only that, we, you know, I just talked about this for Black History Month, but American music is Black music, and we have literally contributed to the entire genre, like every single genre that's out. Like, you know, we have the foundation of it, and we get the least respect. We get the least money.
I'm like, I don't even need the respect if I got the money. I need the ownership.
It's the whole business side of it. That's why I'm so glad you're here, because even with PR, like, you have all of these young millennials. Sorry, guys. I know I'm age dropping on you guys once again, but you have all these kids that want to come up and they want to be in the scene. They want to be rubbing elbows with celebrities, but they don't realize the work that goes into it and the output or the coins that you get from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so people don't realize behind the scenes is business stuff.
There are people with a million followers who are broke.
Bruh.
If I had a million followers, let me tell you right now, I would not be broke. I would probably have $1 million for every follower.
Some guy has a million followers. He's like, I just need every follower to send me $1.
Ugh, I hate when I see that.
But then it's like, you think about it, it's like, oh my God, like, you hear interviews like blaming on Quay, like, he's super viral right now, but mm-hmm. he said there were times where he couldn't even afford to eat and he had over 1 million followers. So people don't realize that, like, I think maybe a lot of people are like addicted to fame. and just being in these spaces, but not realizing, A, the work that goes into it and the fact that most people don't get paid for it.
And that's why I tell people your foundation is core. Knowing who you are and where you want to go is core, because when I'm saying people will take you all over, you'll be on Instagram and Instagram will have you feeling like the man, and real life will let you know that you're not. You know, like on Instagram, you'll have all these DMs, all these people talk to you, a million likes, but then you'll open your fridge and it'll be nothing. So you got to really understand how to do it, because there's no reason anyone should have a million followers and be broke. That means that you're not managing your platform, because there's so many ways to make money once you're at that level. Once you're at this small little platform and I have people wanting to do this and book me here and I'm going to Nashville to speak on a panel and this, that, and the third.
Yes.
And I don't even have 30,000 followers. So I'm like, people on TV or people are influencers, like, you just have to have people that put you in the right place for opportunities, and then you really know what your brand is, which, you know, blame it on K-Way, he figured out.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, life will gather you real quick. Mm-hmm. And, so, you know, when I read that, I was like, oh, I don't feel so bad about not having so many followers, because I'm doing the things that I want to do. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge disconnect with what people see online and reality. Again, throwing back into your reality, mm-hmm. segue right there.
It's so different.
So what should we be expecting from you in 2020?
Everything.
Yeah. I'm ready for it. Give it all to me.
I mean, in 2020, I'm working with some artists that I'm really, really excited about.
So you're still staying in the music space?
Definitely still staying in the music space. Okay. I'm going to be here for a long time.
So you're now doing like 10 talent management?
Yes, talent management. We have two artists right now, a producer. I'm about to sign a professional female basketball player.
Yes.
She actually plays for Nigeria, but she's from Newark, New Jersey.
And she's
in her 20s. She is single.
Okay.
She's in her 20s, but she's going to the Olympics this year.
Oh, that's
the 2020
amazing.
Olympics.
Well, so not just, in Japan, I hope.
I hope they move it, because yeah, it is supposed to be in Japan. But I'm just like really excited about everyone that I'm working with. I want to roll out like a wellness series called Moving Toward Perfection by the end of this year. I own a company called Moving Toward Perfection. So that's really want to like build all of it out. Honestly, my partner and I own like a few different companies. So I want to like actually launch them, because people always say like, oh, I own a company. When it's like at the end of the day, all you have to do is pay a little $300-$400 for the LLC. Like, you know, like it's not really anything unless you do something with it. But now I'm ready to do something with it.
Action, girl.
But yeah, I'm just looking forward to just doing more. Like, I think I had gotten so caught up even in just building out all of my clients' brands that I never even thought about my own. Because I always tell myself that people will know my brand through the work that I do.
But it's a different situation now, girl.
This week, like, I'm bringing on, like, 3 new interns and someone to handle my social media. And I've never had anyone in my social media before. But then I started to realize every single time I speak on a panel or do an interview, my stuff like goes up. I have more people that want to book me. My consultations go up. So I'm like, I'm just hindering myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the type of person that wants to give the information in a very real way. Like, I believe the only way to combat ignorance is through education. So the reason why half these people are ignorant is because no one's educating them.
They don't know.
Or they're telling them some cookie cutter stuff. Like, there's a struggle. Don't worry. No, you might be struggling for 18 months. I was broke. I remember I had a whole summer and I couldn't afford no food. I survived on apples and water for like a whole 4 months. Because I really had to decide when I first started my business, like, do I want to have enough money to take the train and go to Starbucks? Or do I want to eat? And, like, literally, when I'm saying that, like, that's literally what I did. Like, when I first started my business, I didn't have money like that. I took the last $700 I had and did the LLC and then got the domain name and the website.
Would you do anything different?
No.
There you go. The apple and water diet coming to you in 2020. Yes. First book, Apple and Water. No,
that's a good title.
Yeah. Girl, okay, I'll just take a little bit of that, maybe like 5 cents or whatever. Just put me at the footnote. Put me in the footnote.
I got you. Yeah, okay. I'm gonna give it a slightly low percentage.
Just a little, just, you know, maybe on the flap at the back and the little cover. Right?
I get that. Yeah. Just an acknowledgement.
Yeah. Just a little shout out. Yeah, so I love your energy. I love your vibe. I know our audience will. And you dropped so many jewels tonight. We have so much clipping ahead of us. I don't even know where to wrap this up. I just want people who are listening to know that, like, hearing these stories, I really want to bring inspiration to the world. It's a value of mine. It's my tattoo. I want people to be inspired by your story, by everybody's story that comes into the Brooklyn Podcasting Studio. And I want them to know that, like, as hard as it gets, you can still move forward. Whatever rejection you face, that is something else greater for you. I think women are not built for rejection. We're told, you know, to us to be good girls and to wait, or the guy. We're not built for like the no's of life. I want women to step out of that space and just get thicker skin, because
we do need thick skin.
Thicker skin.
We do need thick skin.
Because for every, like, you may get 30 no's, but it's really about that one yes, right? Mm-hmm. And all of the yeses will lead you to greatness, which is where you are right now and where you're heading, you know, where you can continuing to head. And, you know, being prepared, being intentional. I just, so much jewels here. I don't even know where to start. I just want to say.
And always making sure that you're learning.
Yes.
Because, like, even now, like, I was telling Darvis, I was like, yeah, I started doing, not Adobe Photoshop. What's the new one? You know what I'm talking
Lightroom?
About?
Lightroom? Or Spark?
I think it might be Spark.
Spark is the new social media one, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I started learning how to do graphic design just because I wanna know. I've always just had the quest to, like, know. When I first started, like, delving into music and Alamo hired me to be, like, the director of publicity, I remember the first 2-3 months, I used to be up every night until 4 a.m.
Just learning.
Like, researching platforms, because I knew at the time all the stuff I had done around the music artists I had just happened to be that I happened to have friends that worked in these music spaces. I didn't really know music editors and things like that. I'm transitioning from brand marketing then to working with Erica Mena, who was a celebrity. I went from Erica Mena to A Boogie. And then, like, a year later, ended up a director at a label. So I never have let my title, and I think a lot of people get comfortable. They let who people say they are dictate who they think they are in their head. I always want to know, like, okay, you might think I'm this, but I have more to offer. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get comfortable with who you think I am.
You are always evolving, and I love that.
If you're not learning, you're not growing.
Yeah, take that, Jules, guys. Take that last little gem right there. All right, we're going to wrap it up. I want you to drop all of your social media information so you can get some more followers.
Well, all my social media info is the same. I'm Miss Gooding on all platforms. That's M as in Mom, S as in Sam, and then Gooding, G-O-O-D-I-N-G. And yeah, you can follow me there.
Yep, and I cannot wait to drop this episode. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, we are rooting for you. I can't wait to see what is in store for you for the rest of the year.
So we are all rooting for you.
Yeah. Okay, Tyra. How did I break out? We're going to check in with her and maybe some of her artists later this season. So it's not the last time that we're going to be collaborating, just the beginning of a new friendship. Thank you all for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe to the Sorry Not Sorry podcast on Instagram at SNSPOD_, and check us out and our family at the Brooklyn Podcast Studio. Sorry Not Sorry. This is your girl, Jenny Lewis Ford, signing out. Peace. And Gian's here in spirit.
Hey, girl.